Well, good morning, church. Also, I'd say good morning to our friends who may be watching from many, many different directions, thanks to the blessings of technology. Welcome to the Lord's time today in worship. I am so excited again about announcing our tentative plans to resume gathering together in 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, on Sunday, June 7th. This is going to depend, of course, on our governor's guidelines, but we're really hopeful about this time. And we've already started sending out information to you. I hope you watched the COVID-19 update video this past week, and you read the written information that I've sent out to you. We'll probably be sending some more things out as we get closer. It is an important goal for us as a church, and I hope that many, many of us will be able to be back together. I cannot wait to get together again soon. I have preached a lot of messages during these past weeks that deal with how believers should be dealing themselves with pandemic. And I really don't want to get tunnel vision on that, but I do think that maybe the most important thing for us to remember during tough times is that we don't need to be afraid, because God indeed is good all of the time. And I hope if we have managed to communicate anything during these weeks, it has been that. I want to start right off up front today with my thanks to a fellow named Bill McGee. He is a headmaster of a Christian school in Frisco. And in his writing, he gives credit to John Piper. So I am actually giving credit to both. And I am kind of piggybacking off of them this morning. They sparked my thinking this week as we dive into a 10-point message, how not to waste a pandemic. In case you missed that scary word, let me say it again, a 10-point message. Now, I know that you're not a captive audience anymore, and I know that you have lunch plans sometime today, and maybe you're even smelling lunch cooking in the other room at your house this morning, so I will be hurrying. The main point is that if indeed God is in control through His sovereignty, He is, at the very least, allowing our world to be tormented by a virus at this time. It is a learning time for all of humanity, and it will not be a wasted or pointless time if we indeed are able to learn from it. So let's just jump right in with these quick 10 points, and I hope that you will be able to see how not to waste a pandemic. Number one, you will not have wasted this pandemic if you understand that God indeed has a purpose for it. As believers, we understand and we acknowledge that we live in a fallen world that is sick. It is sick with sin. It is also physically sick with disasters and viruses and plagues and bacterial infections and cancers and so many other things we could list. While it was not God's original intent that His creation be so infected, Adam and Eve, you remember the story, they chose poorly. And ever since, sinful humans have had to deal with the consequences of our sin, which distances us from a holy God. But as we have studied many times in recent weeks, though we deserved and still do deserve death, God has not abandoned us to wallow in our sin and suffer without hope. And that's good news. Throughout mankind's history, we see God using time and time again suffering and tragedy and plagues and wars and many other trials to remind us that we are creatures who need saving. Isn't that true? I mean, think of all the messes we get ourselves into. We need saving. Jesus came and spent time among us, not so that He could understand us, but that we could see God in a different way. And while Jesus was here, He healed many people of their physical infirmities, but that's not why He came. He could have spent all of His time while He was here doing that, and He could have healed every single human being in the world of physical infirmities, but that's not what He came to do. He came to heal us at a deeper level. And that very salvation, that very saving, comes to us as a result of God's suffering in our place in the crucifixion of His holy Son on the cross. Our own suffering is not in vain when we recognize that there is indeed an ultimate purpose for it. With God's permission, this pandemic and many other evils exist. And yes, they are used by Satan. Satan is loving this time. But they are being used by God to illuminate His glory and to remind us of our dependence on Him and bring about restoration. Verse we've read often these past weeks, Romans 8:28, is worth reading again. It says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." That's number one. Number two, you will not have wasted this pandemic if you can see it as a gift. And you're thinking, I've really lost it now. A gift? How can an insidious microbe that kills or causes great suffering and economic devastation be considered a gift or a blessing in any conceivable way? Well, once again, it is, as so often we have considered these past weeks, finding a new perspective. I've heard cancer survivors, I've even heard terminal cancer victims before their death claim that their cancer turned out to be a real blessing. How in the world is that possible? It's because it brought them to their knees and it humbled them like nothing else ever had. That experience grew them in their faith as they finally had to admit that they were utterly dependent on God and that His mercy was the only thing that they really had left. We humans tend to be so arrogant in our my way independent thinking, and we just charge ahead at full steam until something stops us completely. We don't usually see that as a blessing at the time. We see it as a hindrance, but it can be a great blessing. And so the question is, what gifts will God bestow on us through this current pandemic? I'm not sure. I think they'll be different for lots of different people, but I know that my Heavenly Father is a good, good Father who delights in spoiling His children with unfathomable blessings, often provided in disguised or sometimes counterintuitive outworking. We can echo Paul's declaration in Romans 8:38 and 39, where Paul says, "I am sure that neither death nor life nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Number three, you will not have wasted this pandemic if you find comfort in God instead of just in the odds. You know, in the early stages of the pandemic, we watched pictures on the news around about spring break. We witnessed crowded beaches in Florida and revelers at Mardi Gras teeming those scenes with young people who at that time believed that they were bulletproof somehow because this virus was an old person's disease and had little or no impact on the younger population. And as time has passed, while COVID-19 has proven especially dangerous to the older population, we found out that it can also, at times, be fatal to younger people. But you know, as far as the odds go, these are pretty amazing odds. Thus far, 5 million people have gotten this disease, and of those, 98% of those infected have survived without hospitalization. Those are pretty great odds. But rather than betting on even your best odds against disease, it is much better to remember that our God is the Lord of statistics. My comfort and my security should not be found in declining statistical curves, but rather in a sovereign God who Scripture teaches has already numbered my days. What that means is no disease can trump the will of God. God chose the day of my birth. God will choose the day of my death. I am in God's hands. Psalm 139, verse 16, I think we read this verse back on Mother's Day about the babies, but it's true about everyone. He says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God's timing is perfect. Number four, you will not have wasted this pandemic if it makes you think about death. You know, I do a lot of funerals in my line of work. Our church does a lot of funerals. You know, this COVID-19 thing has taken the fun out of funerals. You just can't hardly do anything anymore the way that we used to. And I think you know what I mean by that. But funerals are good because they bring a lot of people together into often a church setting. And a lot of those people would have no other reason to think about death if they were not brought there by a funeral. How can we not think about death as we view morbid scenes of overcrowded hospitals in Italy and now Brazil and New York City? How can we not think about death as we see pictures of U-Haul vans stuffed with stacked bodies? How can we not contemplate our own mortality when we learn of the deaths of people in our own community, maybe even someone we know, or someone that is known by someone that we know? It gets close. Is it possible that God is using this pandemic to remind all of us about our mortality and our finiteness as a spiritual stimulus package of sort, jolting us out of our stupor and forcing us to ask the questions we tend to avoid? Is this life all that there is? What happens when I die? And am I ready to die if a really bad form of this virus came into my life? Those are important questions, aren't they? And we need to think about them. Every human being actually receives a death sentence at birth. John Piper says, human history, remarkable as it is still a conveyor belt of corpses. And he's right. You know, the oldest lie of all, perhaps, is Satan's lie to Eve when he said, you will not die. This current pandemic reminds us we should think more often of the promise of eternal life. We should order our priorities in that direction because this mortal life, Scripture says, is just a vapor. It says that we are like the grass and the flowers. We're only here for a brief season. Psalm 39, verse 4 expresses that this way. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. How fleeting is my life. Number 5. See, I'm going really fast. I told you I would. You have not wasted this pandemic unless you think that beating this disease is more important than cherishing Christ. You know, Lord willing, we will overcome this disease. Treatments and vaccines are already being developed, and in time, this season too shall pass. It's very likely we will be able to beat COVID-19 like we beat smallpox, or the Spanish flu, or it could very well just disappear in a timely way, and we humans will probably take credit for that somehow. Now, don't misunderstand. Should we rejoice if we avoid or survive this infection? Of course. Of course we should. But let's not beat our chest and shout, we are the champions, as if arrogant human wisdom and science have triumphed once again. And here's why. This victory will be shallow and short-lived. Because in time, we will face another grave disease, another natural disaster. There'll be another mortal threat of some sort. There will be a terrorist attack or a cancer or an accident or too many birthday candles on your cake or economics or some other kind of enemy that may actually beat us. Those things are just waiting for us in life. So our mission during this pandemic cannot be to merely survive. We have to continue our greater mission to make disciples of all nations. And that requires the church to be the church, perhaps a lot more than we've been willing before this wake-up call came. I'm excited about the church coming back together so we can begin to explore that kind of challenge. Paul said this to the Philippians in Philippians 3, verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I might know Christ. Martin Luther wrote a song that we're familiar with, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. One of the verses says this, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." All right, number six, you will not have wasted this pandemic if your focus is more on God than on the virus. We talk about our primary purposes as a New Testament church. We've talked this year about five hallmarks that identify the church being the church, and one of those on both lists is worship. And it is about having a correct and correcting vision, certainly of everything, but primarily a correct and correcting vision of God, worship. And the question of worship and devotion are very easily analyzed by how much attention and focus we give and to what we give it. There's no shortage of information out there about COVID-19. Have you noticed that? All you have to do is Google the word coronavirus, and the result will be a few million articles on this particular disease. Turn on the television, go online, and you're going to find 24/7 unending coverage on the pandemic. Sadly, based on our time and concerns and attention and focus, most of us might seem to be more devoted to the coronavirus than we are to God. Certainly more afraid of it. If we search Scripture, you will begin to find verses that speak to you in ways that they never have. As we look in God's Word, we're going to find hundreds of verses that apply to our daily current situation. God's Word to us in this pandemic, the most important word of all, the first and last word, really, of everything. And there's so many verses that I am reading now, and I'm seeing them in different ways than I've ever understood them before, because I didn't have the perspective from which to read them. And I think as we spend time in the Word, we're going to get a fresh perspective on life in a fallen world. We understand how risky it is, how dangerous it is. We will waste this pandemic if we don't allow it to rekindle our passion for God's Word. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers and flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever." Number seven, you will not have wasted this pandemic if you let it drive you into a deeper relationship with others instead of merely driving you into solitude or hiding. The term that we're using so often, Darnell mentioned it in the communion meditation, social distancing. I'm really tired of that term. It's poorly conceived. It's badly expressed. It should be physical distancing that we observe, and that can be important. God made us, though, to be social creatures. He made us to enjoy fellowship with others. That's why it feels so weird to be the church without being the church together on Sundays and Saturday nights and during the week. We're made to be together. I'm amazed at all of the creative ways that people have found to do that. Maybe they're rebellious ways, but I'm beginning to feel a little rebellious myself in the face of this disease. Humans are finding ways to connect with each other in spite of all of the strict limitations on physical proximity, from balcony ballads to drive-by birthday parties to virtual concerts and virtual graduations and even beaches, where I've seen in some areas they've drawn big white circles on the beach so you stay in your circle. Wonder how long that's going to last. People find ways. It's so obvious. We have this built-in deep desire for human contact. Being with others is a requirement, in fact, for our health and emotional well-being. Technology. Well, technology has a lot of benefits, but one of the negative things about technology is it has served to separate us and isolate us from each other. Go to a restaurant. Well, back in the old days when you could still go to restaurants, you'd see a family of six and they'd all be looking at their phones. I hope that maybe we're going to get past that because some of our time together has helped us to see how silly that was. But technology, at the same time, gives us the means to reach out to everyone on our contact list or in our circles of influence, and we will waste this pandemic if we fail during this strange season to reconnect with a distant friend, to offer forgiveness perhaps to an old enemy, to restore a relationship or open the door to restoration in a relationship that's been broken, or simply to use the time to strengthen our bonds with immediate family members. Now is not the time to retreat into our hermetic caves. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Moving on, number 8. You will not have wasted this pandemic unless you grieve as others who have no hope. You know, it can't be denied. While we may have underreacted and also overreacted in many ways to this virus, it's true that COVID-19 can be a killer. If everyone on the planet got it, statistics seem to point to the fact that 2 out of every 100 die once they have this disease. And if that happened and is happening, many will suffer the loss of life. Or maybe someone we know. We may well lose our job or our business or our life savings or our freedoms or our sense of security. We've lost a lot of those things in recent days. If everyone in the world got this disease, and that's very unlikely to happen, but statistically speaking, our church could lose, we could bury 20 of our number. So those make things feel a little bit more real. And there are a lot of reasons that this sudden change has given us to grieve. And there'll be many more reasons in the future, I believe. But grieving is not the same as despair. It's okay to grieve. It's healthy to grieve. It's healthy to be sad about our losses and call them what they are. A lot of the feelings that you've had, that I've had during these weeks, this strange time, that feeling deep inside that you just can't really put your finger on and identify is exactly that. It's grief. And it is an odd mixture of denial and anger and depression and acceptance. It's okay. It's healthy to grieve and be sad about our losses because God endowed us with those emotions. And grief is an emotion that can help us to move forward and move away from a time of pain. But you know, grief and emotion are direct consequences of that fall that we were talking about. Adam and Eve were not created knowing how to grieve. They found out soon enough. Yet what it says in Scripture is not that believers don't grieve. It says we do not grieve as the world grieves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, a wonderful verse. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." What a great promise and what great perspective. Our hope-filled grief is a powerful and distinctive witness to a world desperate for hope themselves. Whatever or whomever we may lose as a result of this pandemic will, yes, cause believers to grieve, but we know the loss will not be the final verdict, for those whose hope is in Christ have a greater promise. Death is a bully, but his time is short. Number 9, you will not have wasted this pandemic unless you treat sin just as casually as before. A lot of people have asked the question, is God using this virus to punish the world for rampant, unrepentant sin? Well, even though we clearly deserve it, I don't really think so. It seems to me that COVID-19 is a natural evil, one of the many consequences that comes with our existence in a sin-sick, fallen, damaged world. But sometimes in Scripture, we do see God allowing a lesser evil to occur to prevent a greater evil from overtaking us. For the believer, God may provide this present challenge as a wake-up call, right? A wake-up call to bring about repentance in our hearts from our apathy or our comfort or some hindering sin that has much too long slowed us down in our relationship with Him. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on our lives and confess whatever sins may bind us. It's also an opportunity for us to renounce our idols, many of which have been unmasked in recent weeks. There's a beautiful verse in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, "If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just and will forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness." All right, that brings us to number 10. You didn't think I could do it, did you? I think we're going to make it in plenty of time for lunch. Number 10 is this last final truth. You will not have wasted this pandemic if you will use it as a means of witness to the truth and glory of Jesus Christ. You know, some will see COVID-19 as a punishing freak of nature. Some will see it as a trick of evolution. Some will see it merely as a tool of Satan. Certainly can be seen that way. Some will see it as a Chinese or political ploy, which I think is kind of a stretch, although those groups will use it that want to. If we see this pandemic instead, as we've mentioned already, as a gift from God, for the body of Christ, it represents a rare and unprecedented opportunity to be salt and light, to in fact be the church. The coronavirus is now present on every inhabitable continent in the world. It is afflicting almost every nation without exception. We Christians are historically a people who have run towards the plague instead of away from it. And now Christians, we see them already demonstrating the love of Christ through acts great and small. We've seen the heroic acts of service and self-sacrifice. We see nurses and doctors who go to work every day, not because that's their job, but because Christ compels them to do it. We see first responders, as Darnell mentioned, who run into danger, many of them believers, and that is their motivation. We see in our own church many of our church circle who work every day in high-risk environments because that is their call from the Lord to serve people in that way. Everything from that boldness to people who are making masks, to people who are finding information and helping to share it, to folks who will be helping us to clean between services when we come in. There are so many ways we can see this. I've heard of people sharing food with people that had no food. I've seen people checking on their neighbors, people they haven't talked to maybe ever. It's a good time for the gospel to be spread. What a powerful testimony when an unbeliever observes a believer putting the needs of others ahead of their own. I hope we're finding ways to do that, to be the hands and feet of Jesus for those in need. And because Jesus is the perfect reflection of God, and because the church represents the body of Jesus Christ, as we do that, the world is witnessing the one true God who loves His creation and will deliver it from evil. And who knows? Who knows how many may now be seeking an anchor in the storm who might come to saving faith in Jesus Christ if we don't waste the golden opportunity we've been given to share the love of God with those who are suffering physically, emotionally, or spiritually. They are ripe at this point for the harvest. Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He was talking about Christians. You're like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Well, there you go. 10 points in record time. You may actually get out of church early today for the first time ever. I hope that these different points have kind of helped to wrap up a lot of what we've been talking about in the past 10 weeks or so. I just want to say, as the church, let's not waste the pandemic. Let's not be naive or insensitive to the lessons it may have, both for individuals and for the church. What a sad thing it would be for us to have lived through all of this and not gain important understanding. Waste can be a terrible thing. Sometimes the opposite of waste is redemption. You take something that would have been lost and you reclaim it for a better or nobler purpose. I keep telling my wife that's why I save things. And oh, do I save things. I trip over the things I've saved every day of my life. Just last week, I was doing a little repair on the house, and I needed a piece of plywood. And guess what? I had saved one. I'd had it about 12 years, and I was feeling proud of myself. But I didn't waste it. I reclaimed it. I redeemed it for another purpose. This weekend is a holiday weekend. We call it Memorial Day. It is a time to remember those who've served, and especially those who've given their last full measure of devotion for the sake of a nation. Their lives were not wasted, if we remember. We have this holiday, and we have all of our daily freedoms. We have our way of life, certainly because of God's goodness, but because someone else paid a price for it. And we should remember them, especially during these days, this weekend. But you know, we're not just citizens of America. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, let us also remember the one who paid the price for all sin on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice. In that picture, we are the things that have been saved. Let us live out our lives, and even these days of discomfort, not wastefully, but as the reclaimed and the redeemed, for that is who we are. Father, we're thankful for the church today. We're thankful that even though we're scattered, the church has functioned quite well through history during times of scattering. Lord, we're not going to lie. We don't like it much. And we miss our routines, and we miss the comforts of being together, and we miss our friends, and we miss the power of corporate worship. There's so many things we're missing. Lord, we pray that you would be willing soon to let us begin to resume that. And before long, we will have the full circle together again. But Lord, until then, help us to be mindful of all that you've done for us, and help us to learn the lessons of this strange, difficult time. It is through the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And I will say in parting once again, trust God, keep calm, carry on, and don't be so afraid of dying that you fail to keep on living. God bless you.
Hey family, we're so glad that you joined us for our podcast. Friends, if you'd like to talk to us about Jesus, or if you have prayer requests, please contact us through our social media or through our contact page on our website at www.wacconline.org. If you're interested in joining our church family, there are next steps on our website that we would love to go through with you. Friends, we're so glad you took the time to listen to our podcast. Remember that we're real people experiencing real grace. We'll see you next week.